Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Paul Dottino. We welcome you in on this Tuesday afternoon.
It is Tuesday.
It's kind of there's nobody here. It's kind of weird being at the facility, right?
It's very strange. I mean, this is the black hole of the NFL schedule where really nothing's going on. You got guys who are coming in for treatments because any injured player is still allowed to be at the facility to check in with the trainers. But other than that, you could hear
a
mouse.
It's a ghost town.
It really is. So, and some people around here are actually as white as a ghost. Not us, but some people.
Right. But, you know, in regard to the players, I mean, this is their time to kind of get away, relax, re-energize, because they're going to have to be back here at the end of July to get ready to rock and roll for the 2015 season.
You know what's funny? Many, many years ago when I started doing this, and you know, you'd get to training camp, and a lot of guys would tell you about how training camp was to get in shape. But that's not the case in the NFL anymore. You now have to be in shape before you get to training camp. For example, Tom Coughlin has what's called conditioning drills the first day the players report. Now, on July 30th, the Giants players will check in. They will sign in. They will undergo their physicals to make sure everybody's okay. And then they're going to have conditioning drills. We're talking about wind sprints and gassers. And coach is going to be looking, and he's going to be jotting down guys who don't make it or who are slow or, like I say, can't finish the race. This stuff all gets marked down. And it's part of their evaluation for training camp. How well do you do on conditioning drills the first day that you report back to the team? That wasn't the case years and years ago.
Right.
So, trust me, even though the guys are off, Anita, they're watching their P's and Q's.
Well, I mean, and that is a big concern for a number of teams and a number of organizations that the players having this much time away, that they stay out of trouble. Fortunately, the Giants players not really have a great track record, but as we know, some clubs do not. So that's a big concern. But again, at the end of July, players, of course, get back to work, and it's going to be a fun training camp.
One of the more interesting activities that one of the players is doing this offseason, Justin Pugh, is wrestling. He's a Greco-Roman wrestler in his spare time. And so he went back to California this week, and he is studying his Greco-Roman wrestling techniques because he believes that the use of leverage and body contact is going to help him when he converts to guard this season. How about that?
That's interesting.
There's a story
for you. Did you get that off of social media?
Oh, no. I got that from detective work.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
That's interesting.
But the reason being, you're not on an island. When you're playing guard,
right.
as I talked to Justin about this, he told me that there's more physical contact, more leaning in on the inside of the line than there is on the outside of the line on the edge. And so this is all about, he thinks he can utilize some of those wrestling techniques to help make him a better guard. So anyway, that's just some good stuff out there for you folks that you probably haven't read anywhere.
No, and it's a great nugget. It's exciting to know that Pugh's going to be working at that position. But still, the biggest concern is the right side of that line, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, it's when I'm out and about and folks who know me and know that I'm a part of this organization, it's the first question they ask me is what's going to happen on the right side of the line?
To be determined. I don't think that's solid yet. I really don't. And, you know, you could talk all you want about what they would like to see happen there. I mean, look, it'd be great if Schwartz and Newhouse can nail down those spots to a satisfactory level and they can go into week one against Dallas feeling good about it. But I think both guys, to be honest with you, are really in audition mode because, you know, Newhouse in his time in Green Bay and Cincinnati could not lock down a high-level starting performance. You know, he's had some difficulties early in his career, and this is his third chance. Schwartz was injured with the Giants for most of the season last year, so he hasn't been able to actually show them what they paid for when they signed him as a free agent last spring.
Right.
In my opinion, both guys are kind of in audition mode, I think, and the coach is going to be looking, hey, you know what? If it's not happening with you, somebody else is going to get their butt in there.
201-939-4513 is the phone number, an opportunity for you to get in on the show. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course, always you. We'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, hashtag Giants Chat. There's already some tweets that are coming down, Paul. We're going to get into a number of things today and a number of things that are out there on the web. And one in particular is you've got the NFL, NFL.com, listing the 10 comeback player of the year candidates for 2015, and Victor Cruz is one of those. We're going to dive into that. I want to list them for you. I think it can generate some good conversation. Do you feel that Victor Cruz is at the top of the list that the NFL, NFL.com, has listed? So we're going to get into that in a minute, but I do want to hit some of the tweets that have come in. And again, 201-939-4513, if you want to chime in, maybe one of the guys that I'm going to be talking about on the NFL.com, on their list of comeback players, isn't, maybe you've got a guy in mind that they did not list, by all means. We welcome you to chime in. Here's from Joe. He wants to know, do you think Jake Long will come in for a conditioning test at the start of camp?
Well, let's put it this way. He did come in. The Giants admitted that he came in. Coach Coughlin said they had a good meeting. And wouldn't characterize it anywhere beyond that. I would think if Jake Long was healthy and capable right now of being on an NFL roster, he would have signed somewhere before minicamp. That would be my assumption, because there are teams who could use a veteran tackle in this league, and, you know, he's out there. That didn't happen. That leads me to believe that, you know, for whatever reason, again, it could always be money, it could be physical, whatever the reason is, at the moment, there's not a good fit for him. But I think the door's open there, and I would not at all be surprised if he came back for another visit at some time down the road.
This is from Algie Wiz. Can't believe Eli Manning did not make the NFL's top 100.
Oh, the NFL Network list.
Yes.
Wow, he didn't, huh? See, I haven't paid much attention to that list, to be totally honest with you, outside of Beckham being 32 or something, whatever. I don't even
I believe Odell came in at 32.
Yeah, which I thought was a tad low.
But that is a surprise for me. That is a surprise for me that Eli Manning did not come
100?
In. Yeah, did not come in the top 100.
Wow. You know, based on 2 years ago, I buy it. But based on last season? Anita, 30 touchdowns. 14 picks, 4,400 yards, 63% completes. What there puts him out of the top 100? I don't get it. I'm sorry. They didn't ask me to vote.
I don't know. But that is a huge surprise for me. I thought that he would be in the top 100.
I would agree with that for sure. Absolutely. Look, I think, again, you guys know how I feel about Eli. I know he had that bad year 2 years ago, and that kind of dropped him perhaps maybe out of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league on some people's rankings. But I don't think you can possibly put him out of the top 6 or 7 QBs in the league based on what he did in 2014. He had a hell of a season last year.
Again, 201-939-4513, the phone number you want to get in. Here's the NFL, NFL.com list of 10 comeback player of the year candidates for 2015. Number one, Adrian Peterson. Number two, Carson Palmer. And I'm gonna go offensive players, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. Number three, CJ Spiller. Four, Sam Bradford. Six, Darren McFadden. Eight, Victor Cruz. Colin Kaepernick. And then Jordan Cameron, tight end who leaves Cleveland and goes to the Miami Dolphins. So they have Victor Cruz listed at 8. Now looking here, you know, you do Adrian Peterson obviously come back from what? I mean, you know, he got in trouble. He was not allowed to play. It wasn't like he's coming back from an injury per se. Carson Palmer is coming back from an injury. CJ Spiller. You know what? He had his nicks and bruises that he had to deal with. But man, he's landed in a dream scenario with the St. Louis Rams. I mean, with the New Orleans Saints this year. Sam Bradford. Let me tell you something. Sam Bradford, if he is the starting quarterback for the Eagles, to come back from three ACL injuries and to play in that offense, and if the Eagles are any good, that would be quite impressive. Darren McFadden, you know, again, come back from what? He's going to be playing behind arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. He's injury prone. You know, it'll be interesting to see. And I'm hearing that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be utilizing a heavy dose of Joseph Randle this season as well. Victor Cruz, again, I think what's really interesting and unique here is the fact that there really isn't a huge track record in regard to wide receivers, top wide receivers in the NFL, who've recovered from a tendon tear.
Right.
And have made their way back. Colin Kaepernick, again, no injury there, just really had an off year. Jordan Cameron dealt with some injuries. He's on another team as well. Kind of like a poor man's Tony Gonzalez, a lot of people look at him like. Now with Ryan Tannehill and the cast of characters that they've built down there in South Florida. Paul, I'm going to swing it this way, and we're going to open up the phone lines as well, 201-939-4513. And in regard to these list of players, and maybe there's a player out there that I didn't list. I mean, how do you think Victor Cruz stacks up to this list, and what are you expecting from Victor Cruz more so than anyone else that we just threw out there?
Well, I don't like too many of the guys on the list. I'm disqualifying Adrian Peterson because he didn't retire. He didn't get hurt. You know, because of the way he had to sit out, I cannot consider him for a comeback player of the year award. Had he retired and then come back after a year off because he thought he was finished and then made a comeback, I could include him in my thought process. I could obviously, you know, injury is always the number one thing when you're thinking about a comeback player of the year. So that would qualify. He doesn't make it on either case. So I'm saying no. He's out. Spiller, I don't like the Saints' offensive line. Now, I appreciate his talent, and I appreciate he's going to be with Breeze, but I don't like the Saints' offensive line enough to think that Spiller's going to be able to stay healthy and to rack up big numbers, so I'm crossing him off of my list as a potential winner. Bradford, I'm crossing off because I'll be honest with you, I don't trust him. He is one more concussion away, one more time from getting his bell rung from being out of the NFL. That's too risky for me.
So you worry about the concussion issue with Bradford more so than the knee?
I think the concussion could put him out quicker than the knee. So okay. Bradford, he's not going to win it either. He's off my list. McFadden, great offensive line in Dallas, the best offensive line in the game. I get that. McFadden, injury prone. And if they try to lean on him, now it's interesting, you're telling me you've heard that Randle may wind up being a big workhorse for them. That makes a lot of sense because guess what? Mr. McFadden is not the kind of guy who's going to be able to carry that horse. He just does not have the track record of durability to do it.
And like I said, I'm hearing that Joseph Randle is going to get a lot of love out of Dallas this year.
That'd be pretty smart of them. Try to split that up. So if they're going to split up those carries or give Randle even more of them, guess what? McFadden's not going to win the award either. I'm crossing him off my list. So we're getting down to the bottom here, and Mr. Cruz is still there. Carson Palmer is still there. Kaepernick, I don't think Colin Kaepernick is very good. I've always thought he was a system quarterback. I think the league caught up to him, and I just don't think he's that good. Kaepernick's off my list. Cameron, yeah, I could see that. I think Tannehill's an up-and-coming quarterback. I like him. I like him throwing the ball. I think the Dolphins are going to be a team that's on the up. I could see Cameron being a potential possibility here. My vote, I'm going Carson Palmer. And why do I go Palmer? Because I believe at this point there is more certainty with him over Victor Cruz to start in the lineup week one when the NFL season begins. I think right now we're still in wait-and-see mode on Victor Cruz. Now, again, he's starting to make a believer out of me. I'm getting shaky on this. I'm thinking he may be there against the Cowboys in week one. But I will not commit him to this award with some uncertainty there. From everything I'm hearing out of Arizona, and again, you can educate me on this one, Anita, but I hear that Carson Palmer, all systems are go. They fully believe he's going to be starting that opening week. So I'm going to vote for Carson Palmer 1. Maybe Cameron 2 and maybe Victor Cruz 3 as potential NFL comeback players of the year based on the 8 offensive players that you just gave me on your list. Now, you can disagree, and folks out there, give us a call. Maybe you disagree as well, but I've tried to give you some rationale for why I would put them in that order, at least going into the season.
Well, a few things. Number one, I think you're spot on Carson Palmer. I like the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to have a really, really good team this year. I think they're really going to step up and compete in that division with the Seattle Seahawks. I think San Francisco takes a dive. Obviously, pretty much all of their players have retired. It's a joke. And I do believe that the Rams do step up. Believe it or not, I think San Francisco finishes the worst team in that division this year. I think the Rams take a step up. I think Arizona, that defense, what they've been able to do in free agency and in the draft, I think they – and I love Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians has to be one of my favorite coaches in the NFL.
I could see that.
And I think Carson knows, like, his time is dwindling down. He had all those wasted years in Cincinnati. And so this is his time. This is his opportunity. If he could stay healthy, I'm with you. I think Arizona makes it to the playoffs this year and goes pretty far.
They're a team to watch.
In the postseason. So I think I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm with you. Out of all the guys out there that very well could compete and contend with Victor Cruz in regard to winning comeback player of the year in 2015, I think the most frightening one, I think, would be Carson Palmer.
And the things you've heard from folks around the league is that Palmer is all systems a go.
Yes.
I mean, it appears he's ready.
Yes.
So, I'm going to put my chips on Carson Palmer.
All right, I'm going to put you on the hot seat right now. Do you think Carson Palmer beats out Cruz, or do you think Cruz wins it?
No, I think Palmer's the guy.
Over Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, in order, I'm going to go Palmer, Cameron, and Cruz only because, my understanding is Cameron's going to open with the Dolphins too, week one. I think that's already pretty certain. There's not much question that he's going to be available. Cruz, we still don't know for sure if he's going to be available. So just that question itself puts him in third place among those three contenders for me. And I'm wiping the other guys off. They're not even part of my consideration.
I will say this. I think Adrian Peterson's going to have a monster year. In fact, Adrian Peterson, in regard to fantasy football, Adrian Peterson is the guy I want in the first round. He is the guy I want. He's had a year off. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
He's never played under Norv. Look at the way that Norv used LaDainian Tomlinson. I believe that Adrian Peterson's going to be utilized more so this year than ever years past in regard to the passing game. And I love Teddy Bridgewater. I think Teddy Bridgewater is really going to open things up for Adrian Peterson. But I just don't think that he deserves comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
Based that he's really not coming back from anything that's like an injury.
The
like something that he's had to battle through.
He's
just had a year off. So, anyway.
Funny that we mentioned both the Vikings and Cardinals because I think, and you probably agree from what you've said, in terms of the contenders that people usually talk about, I think that, to me, the Vikings and Cardinals are two up-and-coming teams that are going to be in the playoff conversation in December. That's my opinion.
201-939-4513. Let's go to the calls. We kick it off line one with Abdul. Abdul, welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I have a question. So, in your comeback player, does the player have to be injured from last year or just had a down year?
Well, I think, he could have been injured. He could have had an absolutely abysmal season. And these are my qualifications. Yeah. Anita may feel differently.
Right.
But I think it's got to be injury, an abysmal season where maybe he was even benched because he was just so bad. Or maybe he's coming back from retirement. I mean, I think those things qualify. I can't,
right,
as I've said a moment ago, I can't put Peterson into that category.
Right. Okay, so I think my injured player, as you guys just said, I think Carson Palmer is up for a big year. And for my player that's in a rebound from a bad year, Doug Martin from Tampa Bay. I think he is up for a big year. I think they have an improved offense, improved quarterback play and receiver. And he was just too good that first year to be as bad as he was last year.
This is only my only concern with that is they have Bobby Rainey back there, and Bobby Rainey is supposed to be the future in that backfield for that team. And also, okay. Bobby Rainey is Love's guy, Lovie Smith. He's Lovie's guy. So I'm with you. I'm a big Doug Martin fan. I don't think his future is bright in Tampa. I think they're looking at Bobby Rainey to be the next guy to come in and be a part of that Jameis Winston. I think Bobby Rainey is going to be a part of that Jameis Winston era. We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I've been talking NBA draft.
Well, you threw me for a second too, but here's the thing. I'm not even sure what direction the Bucks are going in, because you know when Lovie was with Chicago, he was more of a defensive coach, right? And now he comes into Tampa and he's there last year, and now this year you're telling me he wants to kind of change the focus of the running back off on offense. Is that more because of him or because of the coordinator or because of the quarterback? You see, offense was never his forte.
Towards the end of last year, Bobby Rainey was really supposed to take the reins because Doug Martin was injured.
Oh, yeah, he was banged up, sure.
And he never turned that corner. And, in fact, it was a guy that I was telling people to pick up on free agency and start him towards the end of the year. And I really thought he'd have some big games, and he never delivered. Okay. So I think also really much better in the passing game.
Okay.
Than Doug Martin is.
Yeah, I would say that.
And you know how it is. A new head coach comes in. He goes out. This is his guy. Yeah. More so than Doug. Doug Martin was part of the old regime. This is the new regime. You know how it works. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. Linal? Linal's calling us from D.C. Linal, welcome in.
Hello? He's gone.
We just lost him. Let's go to line two. We got Joe in PA. Joe, welcome on board.
Hey, hi. Good morning there, Anita and Paul.
Good morning.
Let's see here. What do I want to comment in on first? Eli Manning there, I guess, his top 100. I believe that one year he did break the top 10, but I think they hold it against him for some of these interceptions. And if he has a good year this year, I think he'll spring right back up into the top 10 or so. And I just want to ask you if you've heard the comments on Steve Webb that heard what he made about some of the quarterbacks on the Eagles. Nothing that he didn't say wasn't true, but you think Mr. Coughlin would have some words to him about it?
Joe, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I think that a lot of this stuff that you're seeing now is because this is the black hole of the NFL schedule. And anything that anybody says, no matter how small a crumb, and I saw Rutherford's comments, they were a crumb. They were an absolute crumb. But it becomes blown up on the web because right now everybody is starving for any piece of NFL news they can get. I thought it was way overblown in a case of the media just trying to jump on any piece of meat that they could. So I think it's a lot of to do about nothing.
Yeah, I agree there. I heard there even their commentators say in Philly that, you know, he didn't say anything that wasn't true, he says, but we can talk about our sister, but you can't talk about our sister. So that was their comment, you know. But it was on ESPN and around on the network. So that's all. And I said, I think Eli will rebound back up there in the top 10. He has a good year this year. So great to talk to you. We'll see you. Bye.
Joe, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. This is from Ricker81. Eli gets no respect. Flacco, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan all made it.
Really?
Yeah, and I believe Tony Romo made it.
Matt Ryan, him of the awesome postseason record. Guy who can win a ton of games in the Georgia Dome, but has a lot of trouble in big games when he leaves the Dome.
This is from Joe. Hankins did not make the NFL top 100 either. This is from Ben. Adrian Peterson should not be considered for comeback player of the year because he was basically suspended the whole season. That's not a comeback. And I'm with you. I totally agree with that. Although I do think he's going to have a monster season. Ben also says that Carson played basically the whole season. He didn't miss significant time. Well, towards the end of the season, he didn't. And he didn't play for them in the playoffs.
You know.
And that was a horrible game.
Oh, Yeah, no question about that. The only thing I want to mention about Bradford, you know, he's done some good things in this league, but the durability question is huge. And I'm not even sure, to be totally honest with you, and I know you're a Chip Kelly guy, and I appreciate that, but I'm not even that confident in Chip Kelly right now. He overturned this roster to such a degree. I don't know what the identity is of the Philadelphia Eagles right now. I don't. What is their identity? I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. Zero. And so that's a team that, to me, is looking for an identity. And is Bradford the kind of guy that you can hang your hat on based on his lack of durability? Look, that's my only thoughts about that.
This is my only take with what's going on with Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles, is that no one really knows. You could sit here and you could assume, well, this is how it's going to play out. This isn't a system that necessarily fits Sam Bradford. At the end of the day, will Mark Sanchez be the starting quarterback? I will tell you this. In my opinion, they have the best running back core.
Okay.
In all of the NFL, with DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, and Darren Sproles is a number three for
him.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
That's nasty.
He does have two very up-and-coming wide receivers. So, and I think Ertz, his tight end, I think he's in for a big year. So, you know, the big concern, obviously, with the Eagles is their defense. Can they stop anyone? Can their secondary stop anyone? You know, they went out and they got that one DB that I really liked.
Yeah, you like Rowe in the draft.
I like him a lot. And apparently he's keeping him at corner, by the way.
You know, the two things that,
just to finish my thought is that, you know, either I think within 5 weeks in, I think people are going to look at Chip Kelly and say, man, this guy's brilliant. Or they're going to look at Chip Kelly and say, he's a mad scientist who had too much control and he's done.
Too much salt in the soup.
You know what I mean?
We don't know.
It's going to be a wait and see with that team.
Because
you don't know. And another thing I do want to say, I'm a huge Tim Tebow fan. Not as a quarterback.
Okay.
But one thing that I really, really, I'm really intrigued by is if Chip Kelly keeps Tim Tebow on this roster.
Okay.
And utilizes him.
The two-pointer.
I'm sorry, Tim Tebow was unstoppable from the two-yard line.
He was born to run that play.
He is unstoppable from the two-yard line.
I know.
And now you combine that with Chip Kelly and his whole, you know, insane, crazy, fun schemes that he puts together. Teams that are going to be going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, Paul, what are you going to do if every time they score, they're putting up eight? No, I'm serious.
You think he's going to go for it that many times?
If you had Tim Tebow as your special teams specialist,
all right,
and nobody could stop him, or maybe he got stopped once out of every five plays.
Now, part of that equation is going to be how healthy is the team? Because
wouldn't you do it?
If you're going to put him on the active 53 every Sunday, then you've got to have health at the other positions that you can afford to put a, quote, two-point specialist on your team. He may not be able to get a jersey half the Sundays, Anita, because maybe they're going to be banged up and they're going to need guys at other positions that they can't afford to put a two-point guy on the roster. So that in itself could limit his availability. And then on top of that, you got to decide, when he is dressed, how many times you're going to use him.
But I understand what you're saying, but isn't that worth it? Isn't it worth it that every time you score, you're putting up 8 points? Isn't that worth a roster spot on game day, Paul?
I don't know if there's a coach in this league that's got the guts, even with a weapon like that.
You don't think Chip Kelly
does? With a weapon like that, to do it every time? To go for it every time? I want two every time. Two.
Yeah.
Go, two.
Yeah.
You think so?
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know.
If it's Tim Tebow.
Well, and Chip Kelly.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. Max is calling in. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Max, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Come on, join the party. We're having fun today. Let's go.
Good. hey, I just have a question for you guys. Listen, what do you think is going to be the bigger – a couple questions. What do you think is going to be the bigger X factor as far as where this season takes them, the O-line or the D-line? Which one do you think has the most pressure to step up in a big way?
You're talking about the Giants, right?
Yeah.
There's no question it's the offensive line. I mean, look, if you've tuned into this program often enough over the last several years, you know how much I've been harping on the offensive line. And it will always start in the trenches. So you're right. Both of the lines have to be stout, and they've got to get their jobs done. However, if your offensive line is taking care of business and they're controlling the line of scrimmage, okay, now what that does for your running game and then in turn does for your passing game, which then means your entire offense is really clicking and doing what they want to do, and they control the tempo of the game. They impose their will on the opponent. And now, as you saw with the Dallas Cowboys last year, that makes life for your defense so much easier. Dallas didn't have a great defense last year, but they actually rose to the middle of the pack because their offense was doing so much to help them out. So if you got to say one or the other, I'm going to say I need a stronger offensive line.
I agree. I remember you were a Zach Martin guy last year.
I was.
I have a question to non-Giants related. Just as far as switching over to the AFC, obviously the Patriots have their problems in the secondary and, you know, with Tom Brady's looming suspension. Do you think there is a legitimate team that could dethrone the Patriots, or do you just think that the Belichick factor will propel them to first yet again?
Oh, I think we're going to be in congruency on this one. Anita and I are both not high on the Patriots this year. It's time for them to start teetering off of the brink.
Well, it's not so much, I'll say this, it's not so much that I'm not high on the Patriots this year.
Division's gotten better.
It's that I do, and granted, we're not going to know anything about Tom Brady's suspensions until after 4th of July. That's what's being communicated from the Roger Goodell camp. He's not going to make a decision until after the holiday. I do believe that he at least gets two games. Based on my what I'm hearing, my sources, in what went down in the 11 hours of the appeal, that he's still going to have at least two.
I hope they at least fed him, by the way.
From four, I'm sure. I'm sure they did. But with that being said, even with Garoppolo, let's say worst case scenario, Garoppolo starts for the first two games. It's not even the Patriots. It's the fact that Rex Ryan and that defense in Buffalo is going to be sick. I mean, just sick. You've got a Miami Dolphins team that has improved. I mean, you're Tom Brady and you're looking at Sue and Cameron Wake coming for you? Stop it. And then, you know, as much as Giants fans hate to hear this, I actually think that the Jets defense have an opportunity to surpass the Seattle Seahawks defense as the best defense in the NFL this year. You look at the Miami, the Jets, and the Buffalo Bills defense this season, and you've got a Patriots team that has to play those three teams twice. I think the AFC East is going to be the most competitive division in all of football this year. I think the AFC East was yesterday's NFC West.
It certainly could be the black and blue division of the NFL this year. I don't think anyone's going to argue with that.
I think they're going to be beating each other up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't think the Patriots are going to run away with it. I really don't.
No, I agree. I mean, it's finally that year where you don't take the pen and immediately put AFC East champion Patriots in July. It's finally that time when it is not just willed to them like it's a given. I'm with you. I think that division is, I'm not going to say it's wide open, but it's certainly much more in flux than it's been in a long time.
201-939-4513. You want to get on board. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you. A lot we're talking about today. One is comeback player of the year candidates that NFL.com put out. A number of them. Paul and I feel that, and Victor Cruz, of course, is part of that list. Paul and I feel that Carson Palmer has an opportunity to really kind of compete and win that comeback player of the year, of course, if he stays healthy and if the Arizona Cardinals make it to the playoffs.
Did you recall who the defensive guys were on the list? These are eight offensive players.
Yeah, I thought it'd be cool just to go offense, but here, Navarro Bowman.
Okay. Well, badly injured for sure. So he's and you know what? I have not read exactly where his health status is. I know they say he's on track for the season, but I don't know where he is right now as to if there's any doubt. Is he going to start training camp or is he going to be a PUP guy? I don't know.
I don't know.
So that means to me he's kind of iffy at the moment. I don't know.
And the Honey Badger played 13 games in his return from reconstructive knee surgery, but as a limited role.
Yeah. I'm not excited. I'm not excited about that pick. So I'm still going Carson Palmer, despite the addition of the defensive guys to the list. Carson Palmer's my pick.
And another question I wanted to throw out, and this is Michael Eisen on Giants.com has a mailbag question out. A Giants player to start a franchise with. And so I wanted to open up the phone lines as well. I'm curious. 201-939-4513. And Eisen likes Eli Manning. But I'm thinking
34?
I'm sorry?
Right? He's 34.
34. But I'm
so
thinking
this is today.
Yes, today. A player to start a franchise with. Eisen went with Eli Manning.
Wow.
I have to disagree with that. I have to disagree with that. If I'm starting a franchise today, I'm going with Odell Beckham Jr. Especially the way that this NFL is right now, a pass-happy league. And please argue with me. Please say JPP. Please say maybe you would build around a maybe Eric Flowers. Would you go Eric Flowers?
I was just going to say to you, there are three candidates that come to my mind immediately, and you just named all three.
Okay.
Flowers, and JPP. It's got to be one of those three. And, again, all due respect to Eli Anita. He's 34 years old.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
I'm not building with a guy today, 34 years old. I'm not doing it.
201-939-4513. I'm curious. I want to hear from Giants fans out there who listen to the show. If you had to pick one player on this Giants roster to be your franchise player from today forward to build around, who would it be? Eisen says Eli Manning. I say Odell Beckham Jr. Paul says...
I might go with Flowers at left tackle. I might do it. He's unproven because he hasn't taken a snap in the league yet. So you can kill me for making that pick if you want to. Because I'm one who likes to see some proof. I like to see some evidence before I make a pick, but... Here's the thing, folks. I can't pick the receiver, Anita, because you know what the rule is. Remember, football 101, we always talk about it. You got to have four positions solidified if you're going to be a true contender. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have a left tackle. You got to have a pass rusher. And you've got to have a cover corner. Well, wide receiver doesn't fit there. So I'm not going Odell Beckham. I'm sorry. I can't do it. He's disqualified out of football 101, so he's disqualified on my list too. So it comes down to JPP. It comes down to Flowers. I can understand the Beckham thing, but that's why I'm wiping him out. So it's really a two-man race for me. I'm going to go Flowers. Sorry.
What? Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. That's what makes the question so great. 201-939-4513. For me, it's just I know that we have a very small sample size right now with Odell Beckham Jr. But I think really the sky's the limit.
Can I convince you, though, with one other point? Your receivers, there's a better chance that you'll be able to get a stud receiver. There's always a bunch of them coming out in the draft every year. And stud left tackles, they're a little fewer and further between. Does that kind of help your decision a little bit?
I get it. But again, I just feel that the way that this league is going, Paul, I mean, look at the teams that made it to the playoffs. Look at the teams that are really competing. I mean, a lot of people feel that the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. You know, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. And here's a big ego media just said, Eli Manning, Odell can't throw to himself. I understand that. I know that. but a lot of it has to do in regard to age as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick a 34-year-old player at any position to start my team from scratch today. And Eli, you're younger than I am, so God bless you, okay? And I know you got a lot more years to go. But due to the question, I can't pick him. That's all.
I mean, your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr. in regard to what well, he... what I feel like last year, Paul, he was such a difference maker in regard to this team. He was the offense. He was the offense. And for him to come in as a rookie with the struggles that this team had, and on top of it, keep in mind, there was really no big rushing attack that you had, defenses having to play honest. Towards the end of the season, even look at what the St. Louis Rams were able to kind of try to come in and try to at least contain him. It wasn't his best game, but he still was able to put up numbers.
She's trying, folks. She's really trying.
I'm sorry. If tomorrow the NFL is expanding and I'm a general manager and I have the I have the pick of the anything.
The Giants roster.
Yeah,
you're taking Beckham.
I have any pick.
I get it.
I'm like, Odell.
Okay.
Come with me.
I get it, and I'm not going to argue against it because I don't think it's a bad pick. Once again, three names came to mind right away: Beckham, JPP, and Flowers. But I allowed the old school mentality to kick in and eliminated Beckham for the reasons I told you. It came down to the other two guys. Now, JPP has had some injury difficulties over the previous two seasons coming into 2014. Given that, I decided I would go with the young kid at left tackle. But to me, it's more of a toss-up between the pass rusher and the left tackle than it is the wide receiver, for all the old-school reasons that I described. But I'm not going to disagree with you because, again, folks, I'm admitting the Beckham name came up. I just had to shove him aside.
Oh, and that's fine, and that's what makes this question really so interesting. 201-939-4513. Ben says that he wants to build around Ereck Flowers because the O-line is the start of a great offense. JPP is second choice.
You know, here's the thing, folks, and again, I'm going with Flowers. It's just so difficult to put that kind of pressure, or even the pressure of this question, on the young man, given that he hasn't taken an NFL snap yet. But here's what I do know. He's got the power, the strength, the frame, and he appears to have the mentality and the attitude to be a dynamite player. And as we found out when the Giants drafted him, the neat thing that he had last year when he was at Florida is not, or at Miami, not an issue. Not an issue. As it turns out, the health thing was not a problem. His knee is not a problem, which was one of the knocks I had on him coming into the draft, which is why I had him rank lower than a couple of the other guys. So I'm going there. And anyway, it's a great question, and I'm glad you thought of it because it was that was a good one to kind of shake the leaves a little bit.
Joe, going back to talking about the AFC East, Joe said the AFC East is going to be fascinating. Jets and Bills have great Ds, but no QBs. Dolphins have Sue, but no offensive line. You know, he's right. I mean, you know, when you look at the AFC East in regard to the quarterback position, nobody even comes close to Tom Brady.
Dolphins, no offensive line?
I wouldn't say that they have no offensive line.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
I'll say this. You know, for anybody, and I know you're not going to be one of those people because with fantasy football, you know exactly how good Tannehill can be. I think Tannehill is one of the better young QBs in this league. I like him. I do. I do like him. I don't know what the limit is on him. I don't know where his ceiling is. I don't know how high the sky is for Tannehill.
He's got a weird throwing motion, Paul.
He does. He does.
It's like Philip Rivers. It's like a shot put.
But there's something about him. I like him. I think he's one of the better younger QBs.
Let's head back to our callers, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ed. Ed, calling in from New York.
Yeah, good afternoon.
How you doing?
Thank you. Good afternoon. I wasn't going to weigh in today, but the question posed by Rich Eisen kind of got me thinking here.
You mean Mike? Mike Eisen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Typically, what Paul just said is completely true, for the most part. But I'm on the Beckham fence here. For what I know he's a receiver, but from what he provided last year for our team, he just has a real high ceiling, and he's going to get just better. And it's just a concern that we have for his hamstring and the amount of talk he brings around the team. I just think he's someone that I would build around right now. And I normally would agree with Paul. I just think he's so far ahead of other receivers that came out of the draft that the one guy we cannot afford to lose if he had to go into the season without him. So I'm on the Beckham team.
One for you.
How about that?
Ed,
I like the call. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. How about this? I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into our entire program here.
What do you got?
Jamie says Andre Williams would be his franchise.
Whoa.
I know it sounds like a joke. This year he'll run like he did against the Rams. He's all about – and it's intriguing to me how many fans out there love Andre Williams and are expecting him to have a monster year this year, even after the Giants went out and brought in Shane Vereen, and you've got a Rashad Jennings who's healthy right now. I mean, it is a competitive backfield, but so many fans want to see this young man have success. It's pretty exciting.
You know, the thing you got to remember is that if you're going to pick a running back as the answer to this question, a running back's lifespan, especially if he's going to get a lot of difficult carries in the red zone, like Andre Williams will. I think, Anita, we both agree that when they get down inside that 20, especially inside the 10, Williams is probably going to be the guy they favor, although you will see Vereen some too down there, I think, too, to spread the field. That kind of guy takes a lot of pounding and takes a lot of beatings. So if you're going to pick one guy now to start a franchise, and you're going to take a running back who's going to be involved in a lot of collisions, you're taking a chance that he's going to be around 5, 6, 7 years from now, and that's a gamble.
Let's go to John calling in from Florida. John, welcome on board.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi,
how
John.
How you doing?
Yeah, you've got to turn the show down.
Yep, will do, will do.
Thank you very much.
How you doing? How you doing today?
Hi.
Well, I got a little trivia for you.
Okay.
All right, here you go. First round pick, couldn't catch a cold.
Hello?
He said, I got a little trivia for you.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
First round pick who couldn't catch a cold.
Right.
I'm not sure I understand.
I think he needs a little bit more information.
Yeah.
A little trivia for you, way back when.
I'm lost. I don't know.
A wide receiver, way back when, little trivia, fast as hell, but couldn't catch a cold.
Well, Rocky Thompson was a running back.
Oh, there you go.
He was
there
a first-round pick,
me.
But he was a running back and a kickoff returner. He wasn't a wide receiver.
Well, they tried him at wide receiver.
They threw him a couple passes out of the backfield, and he had fumbleitis.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
So you know, I love when guys ask me trivia questions, and then I got to fix their question.
Make out being a rookie, what do you think for you being on a field from you seeing on the OTAs? What have you been making out on him?
On who's that again?
On Flowers.
Flowers. The thing that I found out from talking to his teammates, and we haven't had a chance to actually discuss this, Anita, in talking to Flowers' teammates, I found out that they are very impressed with how quickly he was able to pick up what they were showing him at minicamp. One of the things that Tom Coughlin wants to do, one of his goals in minicamp, is to throw a bunch of stuff at a rookie and find out how much he can retain, because this gives you a starting point as to where you're going to be able to bring him along once he gets to training camp. And Flowers' teammates were telling me they're very impressed with his technique and how quickly he was picking stuff up, you know, bookwork-wise and filmwork-wise during the minicamp. And that bodes very well for this Giants team, especially when you got an offensive line coach like Pat Flaherty working with you. So that's about the best I can do for you right now. Of course, until they get pads on, because that's always the magical deal right there. You got to see what the guy does once he gets the pads on.
I got you. And one other question. Have you seen Andre Williams catching any passes at all? Has he been looking a little better in the pass game, has he?
Yeah, they have continued to throw him some passes during the course of the spring. He's gotten a little bit better at it. But, again, even I was talking to him the other day, and he said to me, Paul, you know, we're doing shirts and shorts right now. And that's, you know, it's not the same. He's like, I'm anxious to get out there in pads myself. So, again, watch training camp if you get a chance to come out here. They do it right outside the facility during the month of August. And then watch the preseason.
I'm in Florida. I can't do that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Can you watch the preseason games on TV? Can you get them online or something like that?
I always do. Oh, yeah.
Do that and be looking for those kinds of things.
Okay, my friend. I thank you, and God bless, and have a good day. You too, Anita.
Thank you. Thank you for watching Big Blue Kickoff Live all the way down in Florida. Appreciate it. Joe says OBJ has the dog mentality, as Jerry Reese calls it. That's a rare quality. So Joe would go with Odell as well. Are you surprised?
No. He's a worthy candidate for his ability and his age and his superstar production. I can't dispute the pick. It just wouldn't be mine.
Elam Gray says both Super Bowl teams, Patriots and Seahawks, had average wide receiving cores at best last year. You're right, especially when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, I would even say below average. And now they have Jimmy Graham. I'm really excited to see how Jimmy Graham is going to fit into that system. I know there's all this talk about Russell Wilson and his contract and this and that. But I think another one of the biggest storylines, and hopefully they get that complete, so you know it's not the forefront of all the conversation that's going to be taking place with the Seattle Seahawks. But I'm really excited to see how Jimmy Graham's going to be utilized. I mean, with Marshawn Lynch, Jimmy Graham, I think Jimmy Graham has an opportunity to really be phenomenal this year in that offense.
This won't surprise you, but I'm curious to see how, based on the fact that they basically have the bread and butter power running game with Lynch, Jimmy Graham is a guy who stands up a ton. You know, he doesn't use a lot of inline blocking in his game. And
he was brought in for that, Paul.
No, he wasn't.
Right.
He wasn't. So now, when Jimmy Graham is lining up slot and he's lining up wide, well...
And also, they do have Luke Wilson, by the way. Huge fan of Luke Wilson. They've got two very good tight ends on that team now.
I'm interested to see, though, and she's right. Graham was brought in to catch passes. But, you know, if I'm Marshawn Lynch, you could say, well, that opens up the running game. I understand that. I'm still of the running back mentality that says, I got to have a tight end that's going to help me block or help spring me for some holes here. And if Graham just decides, well, you know what? They paid me superstar money. They went out and got me. They want me to catch 100 balls this year, and I don't give two hoots about blocking anybody and getting a hat on anybody. Well, you know what? I'm kind of curious to see what Marshawn Lynch says about that. I'm sorry, but it's a curiosity of mine. I'm not saying he's going to fail. I'm saying I'm curious.
And, you know, one thing, I'm a huge Russell Wilson fan. I had the pleasure of meeting him a few years ago during the Super Bowl in New Orleans at the NFLPA party. And he just gets it. He's just really a quality guy, you know. And you've been covering this league for a while. You know that those guys are few and far between.
Covered him for a whole week when they were here for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So he's just like a pleasant fella.
Just really, really quality guy. And I don't think he gets enough respect in regard to what an integral part he is in that Seattle Seahawks offensive success. I really don't. I'll go one step further. I don't think you could put Peyton Manning in that Seattle Seahawks offense, and I don't think Peyton Manning would have the success that Russell Wilson has. Russell Wilson creates so much with his legs in that offense. He opens up so much for Marshawn Lynch. And that's another thing that I'm really excited about. He's more athletic and has that scrambling ability more so than Drew Brees, where I don't know very many strong safeties or linebackers are going to be able to
stick with Graham
while Russell Wilson's out back there, you know, running around. Graham's going to get wide open.
That's a very, very interesting dynamic, which I'm sure Pete Carroll thought about when he got Graham up there. I don't think you can make your comment about Manning without going the other way. I don't think Russell Wilson wins with the Broncos. If that's where Manning winds up, they keep talking about trading him to Houston, or at least the rumors are. I think Russell Wilson's a system quarterback. I think there are half the teams in this league that he would not do well with because they simply would not go into the run option and the system and the scrambling and all the stuff that he does. I don't think they would tolerate it. I don't think they want it. I don't think they're formed for it. And I think he would fail miserably on a bunch of teams in this league. I think there are other teams in this league, much like the Seahawks, that said, you know what? We understand you have a very specific skill set. We understand you're very unique, and we are willing to do everything we can about this offense to build it around that specific skill set so that you can win with us. And that's what's happened, okay? San Francisco tried to do that with Kaepernick, but other pieces around the team started to fall apart, and Kaepernick is not nearly as football intelligent as Russell Wilson is. Wilson's a very smart player. Kaepernick is not. And that's the biggest difference between those two guys, because Kaepernick has the arm, he has the athleticism, he has the feet. There's no reason why he could not mimic what Wilson does, but he doesn't have the football intelligence that Wilson has. So I would grade Wilson a much higher level than Kaepernick, but I also don't think that Wilson, for example, could run the Giants system and win. My opinion.
201-939-4513, just a few minutes if we're still on board. If you want to get in, chime in. We're talking two hot topics today. One is the NFL, NFL.com has an article out, best comeback player of the year candidates heading into 2015, and Victor Cruz is on that list along with Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford, C.J. Spiller, a number of guys. And out of all the guys that are listed, Adrian Peterson's on that, but I don't look at Adrian Peterson as a comeback player. Out of all the guys that are listed, Paul and I both feel that Carson Palmer could give Victor Cruz a real big run for his money in regard to comeback player of the year this year. How do you feel? And then also, Mike Eisen on Giants.com has a mailbag question. If you had to start a franchise and was able to pick one player off the Giants roster, who would it be? Mike Eisen said Eli Manning. I said Odell Beckham Jr. And Paul says Eric Flowers. Curious to get your thoughts. 201-939-4513. Here's a tweet, also tweeting hashtag Giants chat. Here's a tweet from Ben. Says that Andre Williams is developing nicely. Giants fan can see him growing into a true power running back we can rely on. Eye tests, and then the little thumbs up.
That's good stuff. I'm a big Andre Williams fan. You guys know I projected him fourth round to the Giants last year. I hit it right on, and I'm happy to say I did because this is a good player, a very good player, a pro's pro, great attitude. Think he's got a terrific skill set. And yes, Anita's right. Giants have a three-pronged backfield and one that's probably going to be one of the best in the NFC if they all stay healthy. They will split the carries. They will split the load. They will be situational players. And that's probably why, from a fantasy perspective, the only guy you'd want to think about, you tell me, Miss Fantasy, I would think Williams because of his touchdown gobbling ability and the fact that he's probably going to be Tom Coughlin's green zone guy. I would tend to think, I know you get a ton of points for touchdowns in your fantasy leagues, that would be the guy I would lean to. That doesn't mean he's going to get the most carries this year or the most touches or the most yards.
Out of Shane Vereen or Rashad Jennings?
That's what I mean.
No, if you're playing in a PPR, which most people play in a PPR now, that's points per reception,
Vereen's going to get a bunch.
You're taking Shane Vereen.
Right.
Out of those three running backs, you're taking Shane Vereen out of everyone.
Aren't there some of those leagues where you get like a ton of bonus points for touchdowns, though?
No, you get 6 points for a touchdown, Paul.
Oh, well, Williams is going to get a lot of those.
They could run it in, or yeah, but I don't see. I see Andre Williams on somebody's list as like a fourth running back because it's such a deep backfield.
Yeah.
And because Vereen, especially in PPR, and Rashad Jennings are before him, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you play in some like insane fantasy league where you get like 10 points for rushing touchdowns from running backs, which I've never played in, then Andre Williams, then his value will increase. But I don't see him being a very highly coveted running back in fantasy football this season.
Okay, fair enough.
As we close out the show, I do want to give a shout out to our women's USA soccer team who are taking on Germany tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time. They are not favored.
They're not.
No. What are you laughing?
Because
where's your patriotism?
That came
Paul?
Out of the blue. That where's, came out of the blue. And we're at the big blue center. So
Where's your patriotism, Paul?
Hey, go USA. Don't no question about it. Look, do I want them to win? Sure, I want them to win. Am I going to be watching the game?
Know,
absolutely not.
That's horrible.
Sorry.
Why wouldn't you watch it?
Won't be watching it.
It's World Cup. It's USA.
I'll probably be doing my five.
Wow, that's disappointing. Well,
I'm sorry.
I'll be watching. Hopefully the majority of people out there who actually have some patriotism running through their veins will be watching. Go Women's USA. Hopefully they beat Germany. If they do beat Germany, then they advance to the championship that will be taking place on Friday.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States.
So disappointed in you. Everybody have a great afternoon.
See ya.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got to go on the field. He's got through.